This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, Ti Xiao Yik. As the fasting month for Muslims or Ramadan is upon us, it's even more important to ensure that you are eating healthily, especially when you're fasting. But of course, we live in Malaysia where food is abundant and delicious. So what are some practical ways to instill better eating habits without compromising on the joy of eating and also including the values and the importance of fasting during this month? Joining me to explain all this is nutritionist Sidra Al-Talib. And we'll be getting from Sidra a guide to healthy eating during this fasting month. Sidra, thank you so much for joining me. I think just to make sure that we are all on the same page, that we understand what exactly we're talking about when we say fasting. Of course, there is the Islam's perspective of fasting during Ramadan month, but there may be other forms of fasting that people do as well. So perhaps if you could just walk us through some basics here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here with you. And so answering your question, actually, the Islamic fasting is we put it easily, it's fasting during Ramadan means we abstain from all foods and drinks, including water, from dawn until sunset for 1 month, 30 days.
What happens to the body when you are fasting from sunrise to sundown? How does it affect the body?
Okay, so there is a lot of studies have studied the health benefits and functions on how it affects our body. And while preparing for this interview, I was like fascinated how it's really helpful. And I believe, like, I hope some people who are even not Muslims, they will be inspired to try fasting as well. So one of it's actually promotes blood sugar control by reducing insulin resistance. So several studies have found that fasting may improve blood sugar control, which could be especially useful for those at risk of diabetes. We can see that a lot of people who are like pre-diabetic, they don't know about it. Once they do screening, they know. So it's really helpful in reducing the insulin resistance. It also promotes better health by fighting inflammation. So our research has shown that inflammation may be involved in the development of chronic conditions such as heart disease and cancer. And I would like also to say about something which a lot of people, they don't know. I have learned it during my master's studies when I studied nutrigenomics, is how fasting, a lot of studies on affects our genes. So actually, our genes are the code of so many informations in our body. So we inherit it. And at the same time, actually, it gets affected. It depends on our lifestyle. So there is a study published in 2020 followed individuals who are engaged in 30 days straight of 14 hours daily fast from sunset to sundown during Ramadan. And they looked at the levels of gene activity. We call it scientifically the expression of genes. So for the key genes associated with immunity, cancer, brain health, metabolism, and so on, they found that, for example, a very large down regulations. So let's put it simply for people who are not from science background, we can on and off our genes. So for example, someone who have genes for getting heart diseases or cancer, we can off these genes through our lifestyle. Although you have a risk, but doesn't mean you will have it. So one of it is fasting, but let's say healthy fasting. So we can off these genes. One of the genes that they downregulated is called APP gene, which creates the protein compromising amyloid plaques often found in the brain of Alzheimer patients. And they also found a very large upregulations of one of the genes which play a role in lipid metabolism, which is helping you get rid of cholesterol. So for people who have high cholesterol or bad cholesterol, fasting help them to reduce it. And it also enhances heart health by improving blood pressure, triglycerides, and cholesterol levels. A study which done among 110 obese adults showed that fasting for 3 weeks under medical supervision significantly decreased blood pressure as well as levels of blood triglycerides, total cholesterol, and bad cholesterol. Also, it helps in so far people who are looking to lose weight and they are very busy throughout the year and they are not achieving their goal. Ramadan is your chance and it's a golden opportunity for you to lose weight because it limits calorie intake and it boosts the metabolism through fasting. So there is a meta-analysis, just 70 publications conducted by a researcher from University of Sydney. This study was published in 2019. They reported that was a significant reduction in fat percentage between pre-Ramadan and post-Ramadan in people with overweight or obesity, those who fast the month. So these are, there's a lot of many health benefits. This is one of the things that I wanted to highlight.
Considering the health benefits that you've listed out, but then weigh against that Muslims fast once a year, as in like 1 month out of a whole year, And from a nutrition perspective, not the religious perspective, is there a weight to the argument that people should fast more regularly?
So actually, I was looking at studies which they were like just 1 day in a month. Or in Islam, actually, some of the religious people, they fast in Monday and Thursday. This is following our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to fast during Monday and Thursday. And a lot of studies, actually, they have found significant health benefits on that. So I can see that also people who want to lose weight, they are trying intermittent fasting and they are seeing results on it. Of course, I would suggest that you follow a nutritionist or a dietitian. So the difference between a nutritionist is and dietitian. If you have you have diseases, you follow a dietitian advice. You don't do it blindly or from the internet. And we can see a lot of people who are advising social media and they call themselves health coaches, wellness gurus, I don't know. And I can see there is a lot of wrong information going around which affects people's health. So always follow a health practitioner advice.
You also mentioned the term healthy fasting. And of course, while fasting has benefits, there must be a right and a wrong way to do it. You know, and if somebody is fasting, whether it's for Ramadan or perhaps intermittent style of fasting, if they don't do it without proper preparation, if they're not following the right principles, what are some negative health consequences?
Okay, so for example, let's bring it. So a lot of people, they fast. After their fasting, when they break their fast, they binge eat or they exceed the calories of the what their body needs, or they eat spicy food, food high in oily or sugary. First of all, they will gain weight. Second thing is they are not going to feel like, for example, we fast. Also, we need to work, study, carry on our daily activities. They will have headaches, lethargy. Sometimes constipation, diarrhea, and many, many others which won't let them live their life healthily. So we go back, a lot of people talk about we lose weight, gain weight, but I always say it is healthy eating or healthy lifestyle. We look at it from all points, all perspectives, is how to live your life healthily, like your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health. So your food affects how you carry on your daily activities. So if you don't fast properly, you don't eat the balanced diet, it will affect you.
And we'll get into how do we fast properly in a very short while. But before we go for a quick break, can everyone fast, Sidra?
Fasting is safe for most healthy, well-nourished people. However, it may not be appropriate for individuals who have any medical conditions. So for someone who is diabetic, who have kidney diseases, heart health issues, please go and check with your specialist, your doctor, if you are appropriate to fast or not. If not, please do not, because in Islam also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he have said that only those who can fast, they can fast. So yes, it's safe for people who are healthy and well-nourished, not for people who have some certain health conditions.
And definitely get the advice from your own healthcare provider who's helping you manage your condition, right? What about children, Sidra?
Children are not advised to fast. So when I was a kid, my parents used to tell me, okay, fast until 12 p.m. I believe most of our Muslim listeners, they have experienced that as well. So no, it's not advisable for children.
All right. So let's go for a quick break. I'm speaking to nutritionist Sidra Al Talib, and we're discussing how to eat healthily during the fasting month of Ramadan. When we come back, we'll look at what are the right ways, what are the healthy principles that you should be practicing? What are some common mistakes that people make during this month? Because understandably, it's an important month for a lot of people. There's a lot of family and communal spirit that's tied together with Ramadan. But how do we maintain the principles of healthy eating while doing all that? So we'll be right back after this quick break right here on Health and Living BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. Joining me today via Zoom, nutritionist Sidra Al Talib. We are looking at the month of Ramadan right around the corner. Of course, Muslims in Malaysia and around the world will be starting a month of fasting. But how important is it to fast healthily? You know, it's not just about abstaining from food and drink for those roughly 12 hours. It's about doing it the right way as well, so that your body gains maximum benefit from this process of fasting, which Sidra has already explained. There are numerous benefits to fasting if you do it the right way. So let's now look at how do we do it properly, right, Sidra? Is there even something that we should be looking at before we start the month of fasting? Should we prepare our body before we go into Ramadan?
Definitely, yes. So first of all, I believe most of us, we drink coffee, we drink tea, and a lot of people who have a caffeine addiction, which will they suffer during Ramadan. So I believe a few days before Ramadan, try to reduce the caffeine intake gradually. So for example, if you take 4 cups, 5 cups, reduce it to 3, then 2, then 1, gradually, not all at once. So your body gets used to it when you fast, because if you not, you will have withdrawal symptoms. So withdrawal symptoms, you will have headache, dehydration, you'll feel cranky, you won't focus during your work. So it is advisable to reduce it. Start hydrating your body. A lot of people do a mistake, which they just drink one jug of water before they start fasting, which they will lose all the water afterwards. Start hydrating and gradually drink water every 1 hour, 1 cup. You can start it like this. And then, of course, grocery shopping. So I always say this word, even when we were studying and our professors tell us, whatever you bring to the house, you will eat it. So start when you go and prepare your grocery shopping. Of course, you need to be following a balanced diet. Means you buy proteins, which is legumes, meat, chicken, fish, and also you try to eat all. You try to buy all the vegetables and fruits. A lot of people say no, it's expensive. You don't need to buy. You can buy locally. I love Malaysian fruits, and Malaysia is the heaven of food and fruits. So we have a lot of nutritious and delicious fruits you can buy. You can also focus on potassium-rich fruits and vegetables. You'll ask me why? Because actually potassium is one of the, it will maintain your fluids and electrolytes in the body. So one of it is, like, for example, vegetables like spinach, cabbage, carrots, potato, tomato, and cucumber, and fruits like papaya, banana, dates, and mangoes. You can also buy milk and yogurts, cheese. I believe, like most Malaysians, they don't eat it, but you can try.
I think some don'ts. When it comes to stocking up in terms of shopping, some don'ts might be, don't be tempted to load up on snacks, perhaps?
Yes, food high in salt, foods high in sugar and sweets, and spicy food. So you'll ask me why? Because actually when we fast, our stomach is really sensitive. We have been for long hours, we haven't eaten anything, and you come and break your fast with spicy food, this will make a lot of digestive problems, like cause heartburn, esophageal reflux disease, diarrhea, and ulcers. So please try to avoid spicy food, food high in salt, because it will make you feel thirsty during the fasting hours. And food high in sugar, of course, we know sugar is high sugar is not good for our health, and it will increase your weight. So I always advise the best way to snack is fruits. So after breaking your fast and completing all your futur, you can snack on fruits or nuts. Yes.
Yeah. What about dates? Obviously, that's part of a practice in the religion, but nutritionally, what are the benefits of dates?
Okay, yes, of course, dates is one of the most important things during Ramadan. Why we eat dates? Because dates is rich in nutrients. It's a very good thing to break our fast because it gives us, so when we are fasting, we have our glucose is low in our body. So this is the first thing we eat. So we will give a boost to our body and give energy. And dates is high in potassium as well, and also have fiber and have fructose.
Let's move on to some common mistakes that people make, right? Earlier you said that binge eating after you break your fast is not advisable. But in terms of what's happening in the body when you do that, you want to walk us through that?
Okay, so some people, they will have indigestion. And of course, when you give your body all this food, you will, after half an hour or 1 hour, you will feel, okay, I want to go and sleep, because your insulin have really increased in your bloodstream. So it varies from person to person, but in general, they will experience bloating, abdominal pain, nausea, because you have eaten so much amount of food and your digestive system, you will shock your digestive system. Some people, they will feel weak. They cannot continue their day. I want to go and sleep. And, you know, we Muslims, after breaking our fast and after Maghrib, we will go for Taraweeh prayers. So if they do that, they are not able to go to, they will feel low in energy and they will feel sluggish or sleepy.
Okay. And you talked about what some people tend to do, which is to skip the sahur meal.
So a lot of people, they feel lazy to wake up to have their sahur meal. This is one of the things that they will feel weak during their fasting hours. Why? Because they don't have energy and they haven't eaten to continue their day. So don't avoid your sahur. You can wake up at least 30 minutes or 1 hour before fasting starts, before our subuh prayers. So sahur should be a balanced diet. We follow our suku suparo. I hope all our listeners have heard of it. So suku suparo is, we need to divide our plate into, this is applicable for sahur and futur as well. So we divide our plate into quarter protein source and quarter complex carbohydrate source, and half of it, about more than quarter, third quarter vegetables, and the other quarter is fruits, and a cup of water or a cup of dairy like milk. So during sahur, we can focus on complex carbohydrates like 2 tusks of brown bread. If you don't like it, it's okay. You can go. I'm flexible nutritionist. You can go for a white one. It's okay if you don't like it. But it's advisable to go for whole grain because it's have more fiber. So complex carbohydrates have more fiber, which will help us to feel more full throughout our fasting days, because simple carbohydrates, it will be digested fast, so you'll feel hungry later. And protein as well, focus on protein. So let's give an example. For example, if someone, let's not go too healthy or too Western, we become local. Let's say someone is having nasi lemak in the morning. So you can apply suku suparo. Quarter of it is rice. It doesn't need all of your plate to be rice, quarter of it rice, quarter of it is the anchovies, eggs. Yeah, this is the source of protein, and also the peanuts. And you can have vegetables as well. So like this, you are applying the suku suku suparo by eating a local dish and delicious dish, which I like.
I think vegetables is always our biggest, we tend to probably have vegetables as a suku or even less rather than the sparrow. And that's where I think we need to include more vegetables. What are some, I think we have an abundance actually of wonderful local vegetables. Perhaps you could give us some examples of what different varieties there are and what nutrients they offer.
So actually, green leafy vegetables, it has like all the B vitamins, vitamin C, and we come on. We are living in the era of COVID-19. We haven't get rid of it yet. So we need to boost our immune system as well. So please focus on your fruits and vegetables. So you say about local grown vegetables like eggplant, cucumber, okra, lettuce. So we always say eat your rainbow. Eat your rainbow means go with different colors of vegetables and fruits. Why? Because each color have different antioxidants, benefits, and vitamins and minerals. So we always, when you go and don't go all green or don't go all yellow, no, make it a rainbow. So we can, for example, you buy broccoli, you buy onions, you buy long beans, spinach, bok choy. I love bok choy. lettuce, and also like the red cabbage, tomatoes, cucumber. And for example, if we go to the white one, the cauliflower. So always go for the different colors because each one of it is have different phytonutrients for you and antioxidants.
Absolutely. Just a little bit about counting calories, I suppose. You did mention at the start of this that people should not binge eat beyond what is their expected calorie intake for the day, right? But how do we weigh that against calorie counting? Should people be counting their calories?
Don't be strict in counting calories because it's not practical, to be honest. I am a nutritionist. I don't like everything I put in my mouth. I need to count it. No. However, I will emphasize that we can educate ourselves on what each food, what calories they have. So for example, if you are eating vegetables, you don't need to count calories because they are low in calories. But if you are eating sweet cakes, all the nice and colorful kuih, yeah, count it. Don't go overboard. One piece is enough. And I always say you don't need to restrict yourself. I mean, once in a while, you can eat a piece of cake. You can eat sweets, but not necessarily every day. Why? Because it's high in calories. Like, for example, let's give an example. One balanced plate, which is like around 300, 400 calories. Well, if you just eat a piece of cake, which lacks of nutrients, it might go to 700 calories. So like this, we are going to increase what our body needs. So for example, an adult which requires 2,000 of calories, they go and buy one frappuccino and one piece of cake. And also they skip their, let's say, not out of Ramadan, let's say during normal days. And then they go and skip their lunch and eat a chips. By this, they have actually already exceeded what their body needs, and they haven't eaten anything which healthy the body, like their body needs, the nutrients, the protein, the complex carbs, all of this. So I always say, yeah, you can educate yourself and always follow the suku suku suparo and know what your body needs. If you are trying, if you are an athlete or someone who have a medical health condition, yes. And also for diabetic patients, they will need to follow with their dietitian how much they are supposed to eat. So for healthy individuals, normal individuals who don't have any health condition, you can educate yourself how much you are supposed to have in a day and the serving sizes, the calories in the food, and you can go on. I mean, you don't need to, every time you eat a meal, you need to count the calories. This is too much, I think. Not practical.
Except if you are, like you said, loading up on those low nutrient but high calorie foods, like that Frappuccino, right? I noticed the plate, the sukusuku spiral plate, dessert or sweet things don't have a place on that plate. Am I right?
Yes, it does not.
That's it.
As far as I know, it does not.
And that's it. End of story.
Yeah, but actually, I mean, we can have a room for that in a healthy lifestyle. I am against restricting everything and just because why we go back, it will lead to overindulgence. So, and also, I mean, it's not healthy. You'll feel like if, for example, you go for a birthday party and no, I don't eat this cake. No. I mean, you'll feel weird, right? So, no, we can eat once in a while. And during Ramadan, I do eat, but not every day. I have put it like once a week. I will just take one piece, not everything. One piece is enough.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned people with pre-existing conditions and diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol being so common among Malaysians. Let's say if they have gotten a green light from their physician to fast, but if they don't fast properly, if they do all the things they're not supposed to, like binge eating, skipping certain the sahur and all of that, could that worsen the control of their condition?
Yes, definitely. So after they get the green light from their physician, they can go to the dietitian and she will plan accordingly what they are supposed to eat healthily. And please follow it. Why? Because it will worsen their condition.
What about water intake? Let's talk a little about that.
Sure. This is one of the important things in Ramadan. So it's advisable that average adults, they can have 8 glasses of water. So some of the people, once they break their fast, they will just go and take the whole jug or like when they are having their sahur, this is not advisable and you are going to lose this water. Their body cannot take it all at once. So once you break your fast, you can have the one piece of date or 3 and 1 cup of water. It should be warm. Don't drink cold. Their own temperature. And after that, they can start with their meal. And each hour until sahur, you can have 1 cup. So it will actually add up to 8 cups. Don't drink it all at once and don't skip water.
It will lead to dehydration, yeah. What about other kinds of fluids, right? Sugary, gassy drinks, or your teh tariks and fruit juices. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, so please stay away from carbonated drinks during Ramadan. Why? Because it's high in sugar. It will, first of all, of course, it's not a healthy. There is no nutrients in it. And the second thing, you will feel gassy and bloated. And you will feel uncomfortable when you drink it. So always go, of course, the top of the list is water. If you want to have fruit juice, you can. But please... without sugar, and if sugar, please less sugar. And my advice is please stay away from any colorful drinks because there is no nutrients in it. It will lead to weight gain, increase your insulin levels, and you are not going. So I always tell the people, please listen to your body.
So I think in Malaysia, Ramadan is such a family and a communal time, especially now a lot of the restrictions have been relaxed. I think we're going to see the return of people breaking fast together and eating out. So some tips there to ensure that, again, I know you've talked about not binge eating and all of that. Perhaps some tips, you know, how we can restrain ourselves during the breaking fast time.
Yes. So I think I didn't talk in detail on how we break our fast. This is also, as you said, in the community. So first of all, I go back, we take a date and water. So I am Iraqi, but I have been based in Malaysia for 20 years. So the Mediterranean diet, we eat a soup, which is a warm soup, for example, lentil soup. I was asking my friends, do you drink? Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. So if you are going to have, for example, a soup, please don't be spicy. And then we can go and have our maghrib prayers. After that, we start with our meal and we follow the suku suku suparo. And always, I know mothers, they love cooking. One of them is my mom. I always tell her, just make one main dish. So we can see on social media, people taking photos and enjoying the food. And even the non-Muslims, they enjoy this month because we have a lot of foods. There's a lot of invitations. I really love that, but we need to be careful as well. So for example, you have been invited to your friends or your family. First of all, have a glance of what they have options before putting anything. And for example, there is different types of rice, biryani. Just take one. This is as your carbohydrate. And if they have, like, for example, meat, chicken, different types, just choose one, or you can choose few of them, just make it as a quarter, and then you can put the vegetables and fruits and water, avoid colored carbonated drinks.
I think the same principles would apply if we go to the Bazaar Ramadan. Again, the choices are all there. You'd be tempted to buy everything, wouldn't you?
Yes, especially when we are hungry. When we are hungry, we will see, I need to eat all these options well, and the smell, and you are fasting. Oh my, you are reminding me of Bazaar Ramadan now. Okay, I love it. So yeah, the same rule applies. Please don't go and buy all the options. Why again? Because you're not going to eat it all, and we will lead to food waste. So please no. Try to apply the same rule again. So for example, you want to buy, just buy nasi ayam with vegetables, no colored greens. Please stay away from it. And okay, kuih also, there is kuih. I love it. You can buy one type. You don't need to buy all of it. I know it's tempting, but your health is important as well. We always invest in that branded bag, that branded shirt. But why we don't invest in our health? This topic that I was speaking with my mom as well. So I was asking her before Ramadan, please go and do a medical checkup. And she did it. Alhamdulillah, she's well. And so she take it. She was like, even calling her sisters and her friends, she told them like, please do medical checkup as well. Yes. So if someone having a problem and it's not being solved by themselves, it's advisable that they go and seek medical or health practitioner advice.
I think that's a great point, to go for a medical checkup before you start Ramadan, because it's all about part of that package, right? You go into it with the right mindset and knowing what are the right principles as well. That's fantastic. A final message as we approach Ramadan, Sidra?
Okay, first of all, Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim friends. Please stay healthy. I believe that COVID-19 have taught us that health is really precious. I hope that we nutritionists, we will have our impact in Malaysia more and more to make our people more healthier. So we just make a recap. Please don't skip your sahur meal. Eat a balanced diet. Don't forget your fruits and vegetables. Don't forget your water. Stay away from spicy, oily, and high in sugar, high in salt, and pickled food.
Stay away from those colored drinks as well. I know they're in abundance, but good old water, as Sidra said.
Yes. Go for colored vegetables and fruits. Don't go for colored drinks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sidra. I've been speaking to Sidra Al-Talib. She's a nutritionist and she's been giving us advice and tips on how to eat healthily during the fasting month. And Ramadan Mubarak to all our Muslim listeners. Happy and healthy fasting for the days to come. You've been listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.